Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast. Today, we're honored to host Paul Gunn Jr., CEO of Kuog Corporation, a driving force in the defense and space industry. With a background steeped in excellence and innovation, Paul's leadership at Kuog Corporation exemplifies a commitment to mission-driven success and strategic planning. Join us as we uncover the insights and experiences fueling Paul's journey to a pinnacle of business leadership, exploring his unique approach to empathy, transparency, and driving results in the ever-evolving world of procurement and logistics. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Hey, thanks for having me, Dylan. That's a warm welcome.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad to have you on. So if you could please give us a brief intro on yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Well, I'd like to probably typecast by saying I consider myself a vessel for overflowing into others. And by that nature, this has found its way into the line of work we do. So a little bit about me, relationships matter and they always have. I know that could be kind of status quo, but it's played success in elevating myself and our company, because when it's come down to the critical moments, those vital relationships that were built on some of the moral things that drive business that are often talked about played that vital role. So I would say it only solidified what holds dear to me and valuing. And that's why I usually would premise it by saying I'm a vessel overflowing into others because it was done to me. Mm. And I feel like the more people kind of embrace that, or those that do it well seem to have that same level of success going forward. It's not always the case, but it's shown itself to me for those that have a lasting impact on me.
Mm-hmm. How did Kuog Corporation come about exactly? I know you worked as a executive VP of Gideon before working at Kuog or starting Kuog. So what was the inspiration on starting Kuog?
Well, that was a great question. So my brother, he served when the towers went down, and I, interestingly, was going to go in as an officer. But when I hadn't seen my brother in 4 years. So my dad had suggested us, hey, why don't you and your brother go into business? So we both jumped at it. We hadn't seen each other. So we started that previous company. I was mm-hmm. more behind the scenes. So I was a co-founder, but he took the front lead, veteran, and we had a real good time. We caught up. And we built that company up. But once I got married and we had a newborn, I basically went to him and said, hey, man, do you want to keep this going or do you want to try something different? And that's when he said, he wanted to get into something. So he went into long haul and driving. And then I just naturally continued this from the relationships that we had and springboarded from there. So it started from my desire to want to continue serving in this industry and having that entrepreneurial bug just right at me bugging to want to go on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So he went on. What happened? Well, initially in that first month, I said, fine, I'll just go. I'll go work in corporate. I'll leave it alone. But as they say, you might find it difficult to get employment from there. And I realized it wasn't an easy sale when we went through that. I'll just say it was a horrific one. So I had to restart again from my back against the wall. And those are those typical ones that they tell you, you go through a rough failure that only elevates you. And so what happened was when I realized I was newly married, had a newborn son, I couldn't find the work that I was needing to do. My back was against the wall. So it's like, look, let me go ahead and start this business because it didn't seem I was getting any viable employment opportunities. So what I learned in failure from the first time go around, I was able to speed up the sale revenue quickly with Kuog on the second time around. So those failures on the first one, and that's where the relationships came into play, where they had the experience from me before, or I knew where to go to develop the new distribution points, basically, like from your background, find who in there could help me and make sure I could sell on those customers our value and where we could make it a better position for the end user.
So QOG is, for the listeners who don't know what QOG is, it is a logistics and procurement company, correct?
Yes.
So how does it differentiate from other logistics and procurement businesses?
So what I found gave us success the first time around. At that time, what we did with the last company, we were going after work that most people at that time, it wasn't wrapped up in a certain way to procure stuff. So what we did was we went after that work and we valued and positioned it on the relationship. So what I would do when we would engage, I was trying to find either the sales reps or the account reps that were working really well. And sometimes these would be women executives that were technical in their domain. I had to lean on them for expertise. And then what would happen, they would either tell me, hey, they're starting to branch out on their own, or they knew of another company where there was another woman leader who was trying to drive revenue. But that wasn't the premise. The relationship formed from there. And I said, hey, I'm starting to develop a good circle of people who value on this core relationship where trust and morality runs on it. And I built it off that. So yes, other people will say they do it, but I feel like what differentiates us is just the transparency of trust, where we'll tell some of the people, we just tell them, look, this is where we're going to get the stuff. This is how we're going to get it to you. Where at that time, it was communicated back to us. Most people didn't always delve who their sources were and how they were going to get it done. And that became a staple for how we had our success at that time. It may be a lot easier now with all the AI and tech to find out who gets what and from where. But that's where we saw our kind of solidified back-end support help us.
Okay. So I did want to touch on how fast your business is growing. So I did a lot of research on your business, on QOG, and seeing how fast you guys have been growing, being listed on the Inc. 500 and recognized by publications like USA Today and Forbes. You know, that's a remarkable achievement. So what do you believe are the key factors that have contributed to your success, both personally and professionally?
That's a great question. To me, I want to say we value the intangibles that others bring and on the relationships, in terms of, I know a status quo, if you give, you get in return. And by that, I mean, when we would find opportunities, we would bring it to the table. So if there was a steel distributor that wasn't, we'd go look out and research, are they meeting their sales number? Or we would check the different boards. Are they looking for sales reps? Or do they have this territory covered? And what I would go, and we would have our team go do, say, look, we can help you. Are you able to help us deliver to this type of customer? And they would look at it and say, yes. So then we would go to our customers and say, hey, if you're not getting it in this area, we're able to help you. And that's where we showed the trust. Here's our source. Here's how they're going to do it. We have this relationship. And by helping someone else, we in turn help ourselves. And I think that just rippled effect across the board. We said, if it works one place, let's see where else this can work. Can it work with boxes? Can it work with materials? Can it work with tires? Can it work with weapon systems? Can it work with all type of different materials? And it just snowballed really quickly, taking that same approach.
Wow. No, that is great. Yeah. I mean, being listed on there and high up in multiple categories too is incredible.
Yeah. It meant a lot to me personally, and especially why? Because when my back was against the wall from leaving the last company, to see it happen this soon, that quick, within that time span, it was sooner than it was with the previous company. So that to me meant something, because it said, hey, look, there was something to say about valuing the intangibles and how successful, whether it's external success others see, but it really gave something internal to me to say, look, like, your back's against the wall. So when you do have failures that people often talk about, it can mean meaningful. So yeah, it's good for the company, but it really left a mark on me. No matter what happens from this point, to get it there, said something, hey, but push through things when it always doesn't seem capable or able to.
I could not agree more. I mean, that is a huge feat for your business and for your team, and that's always something that you're going to be able to have. Congratulations, that is great, and I'm
Yes.
excited to see as you continue to have success, what next accolades you guys are going to achieve. So empathy and transparency are qualities often
Thank you.
associated with strong leadership, and you speak about how empathy and transparency in business has led you to your success. How do you demonstrate empathy and transparency in your
Yes.
interactions with employees, clients, and stakeholders, and how does it contribute to the overall success of Kuaog Corporation?
I would say a lot of that has been instilled in us from kids. We had great parents. I was blessed from that. But I would also say the intangibles. I was blessed to be around someone. They didn't provide the money. I saw what they did. They replicated this. And what the epiphany to me was, you hear other people say, be shrewd in business, don't embrace these. But this person had nine-figure personal wealth. And these were the very things that they would talk to me. Look, this matters. If I can't trust you on these small things, I'm not gonna be able to trust you, almost like on the biblical principles they talk about on the bigger things. So how I do it is I want to hear an active listening from somebody else. Am I listening? Am I hearing what I'm not seeing? Have I taken into account what my own bias may be so that I can challenge it and be better? And then when I pull and make a suggestion, still come back. Hey, was this the right one? Ultimately, I've got to make a decision on certain things with all the information given. But it basically, no, I'm first thinking of them. Is this going to help everyone involved if these decisions are made? And they are constantly on my mind. What am I doing that's going to affect those internal and external to us? And from that, it puts me in a place to want to hear more than I speak.
I hope a lot of the listeners, future leaders, and even existing leaders are listening to that because it's such a huge point in business, listening to your team and being empathetic, because I mean, that can set you apart from your success, right? I mean, especially working in bigger companies who have thousands and thousands of employees, it's a little more difficult for upper management to really make that a part of their business. And so obviously you have to hire people to be able to promote your vision, of course. But that is a very, very good point. And, I'm thankful that you mentioned it because I hope people take that into consideration when they are trying to run their own businesses. If they're just managers or leaders in their own organizations, that those little things matter and can be the defining factor on whether you're successful or not. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought out the larger companies that did that. And this is why it drove home. When we were dealing on, I'd say there's been two or three massive opportunities where they were large companies we had to work with. And we needed almost a heartfelt hearing to what we were talking about. And the leaderships at those companies experienced that and embraced that and showed it to us. And that to me said, look, here's a large company with large financial revenues and people that you wouldn't think do it. Actually take this in. And they were the foundational vendor blocks that we still use to this day, because I'm saying, look, people in small business can take this and affect it on the short, but then scaling that to large companies that take this same approach, it left a mark on me to say, yeah, not everybody's going to do it, but when they do it, they grow, you grow. And it's almost a win-win for everybody. So there are those out there doing it, and that really sent home even more how important it is to embrace it.
Yep, I could not agree more. So, innovation is essential for staying competitive in today's rapidly evolving business landscape. I know we talked a little bit about, you mentioned artificial intelligence, AI. How do
Yeah.
you encourage a culture of innovation within Kuaog Corporation? How do you prioritize and implement new ideas while managing risk?
That's a great question, and I would say I'm ever learning. And I'll be frank, AI is something that my knowledge is limited on. So it's definitely one of those things, embracing empathy, embracing the humility, not that you're less than anybody, that you understand someone has the ability to educate you more. And to personally and publicly admit, that is something I'm limited on. So I have to lean on others. What do they see? What technology are they using or thinking of that can help us? And even external, where I have to go to vendors, look, we have this gap. What are you seeing that we can either use and leverage to improve us and improve the overall trajectory of our company? But that was a first and quick admission to say, this is not something that I am well versed in, and where do I need to go? I've seen some people on AI on LinkedIn actually create newsletters on where to go to get the free information. And even still, as you're trying, it seems like you pick up something one day and tomorrow it's already advanced twice. So
Right.
that is an area where it's constantly looking to say, embrace empathy and learn from the greater minds
Yeah.
who have it. Because I assume the younger folks, even those who are well versed in it, who are my age or older, I have to lean on them.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
Right. Funny you said that. It brought up a memory of a commercial. I think it was Dell that the guy leaves the store. I think he was leaving Best Buy or something, and he's all excited about his new laptop, and he looks up and he sees one of the billboards, and it's changing the new version of his computer, and he's like,
Yes.
gosh dang it.
Yeah.
But I
Yeah.
mean, it's true. How fast, how rapidly
Yes.
technology is evolving is unbelievable. So
Yeah.
do you get a lot of ideas from your team, even like entry-level employees bringing up ideas that you guys use to implement or have implemented?
Yes, and I'll give you an example, even for media and even for tracking. And I would say, like we were previously talking, media is not something that I, before the pandemic, you really want to see me anywhere on there. And for somehow, I decided, all right, around the pandemic, I kind of saw where things were going. So you had to leverage, I had to go and find someone who's a branding expert, who is a media expert. And then all these ties into what the innovation is for back-end support. How do you track incoming opportunities? How do you leverage what's new and what they brought to the table in terms of dashboards, sales type of tracking, accounting software that embraces the AI to give you more realistic intel for you to make calculated decisions? It even comes across for editing and those type of things. I'm still not on to Chat GPT yet. I don't even have an account yet to know, but the implementation, I would say, has best helped us with sales and financials in terms of getting it closer and more aligned to make better informed decisions.
Right. Yeah, I think at this point it's more just making you more productive in areas
Yes.
rather than
Yes.
kind of creating new things for us. I mean, of course it's evolving every day, but at the
Yes.
same time, yeah, I think that's kind of where it is for myself. Even the way I utilize it is just being more efficient. You and I did touch a little bit on mentorship early on. I can't
Yes.
remember if it was either in this conversation or ours, our pre-conversation, but
Yes.
mentorship and professional development are crucial for grooming the next generation of leaders. I know I've benefited greatly from having mentors. I'm sure you could say the same, right?
Yes.
Can you share any experiences where mentorship played a significant role in your own career? And how do you pay it forward by mentoring others within your own organization?
I'm going to say two things, and they value immensely to me. I was blessed, and I wrote it even in the book. I had great parents. My dad is a master teacher by trade. And to have that level of advisement growing up and seeing it. So, that's still your parents. You reach the age where you say, hey, fine. I knew early on I wanted to be my own man. I like, Dad, I hear the stuff that you're saying, but I never disagreed with the stuff. And so as I took and saw how he did his work and did his thing, it was when I got around that person who had the immense wealth that they were mirroring the same things that he would teach us. So yes, I heard it, but when I saw it replicated to significant wealth, it's like I clicked all the dots together and said, you know what, I'm going to take what has been learned and execute from there. And he's a master with financials. So from as we grew and as I would say those things, he has been in the background as my advisor. So I do say I do say I benefited from having a loving dad, but also from someone who has financial acumen at that level. So if I didn't, I know I would have needed one. I don't discredit when people say get watch that inner circle, find someone who's a mentorship to you, because I was able to bounce things off him, even though as a dad's son, there was the respect there. I didn't always follow his advice, but I was able to back off. I was able to essentially say, what did he do in those situations? And sometimes he'd say he hadn't been in the position, but if it was him, these are what I would do. So I benefited from seeing someone with exceptional wealth, but also still having them around when I want to bounce off ideas, because I'm still going to go take those risks with the calculated things going through. And from there, I would try and pick others. Like I was saying, there was another lady we worked with who was technical in connectors and wires and cables. I would go to her. I started to realize those who would show this level of care, I would go to her and say, I don't understand these things. Are you able to help? So those vendors in the inner circle also became my advisors or mentorship, just to give advice, both as we ordered and as we sent new opportunities. They would be willing to share those things that I took to heart.
Not many people can say that they have a parent that is their one of their top advisors and mentors. So that is great. And, you know, I had similar situation with my dad. You know, he's done the same thing similar for me, giving me ideas. And I think that's a good point that you mentioned, is the approach. You know, when they sit there and tell you this is how you have to do it, when it's your parent, it comes off different. It's almost like you want to go the other way, right? So the fact that he said, you know, I'm not telling you have to do it this way, but I would do it this way, to kind of make you, you know, almost reverse psychology. Do you have a mentor program at all at Kuog? How do you guys go about mentoring your incoming employees?
So I want to say it's necessarily a mentorship that we have. I have done it. I did it in the previous company. So this is something where, like, it's more trying to give I learned autonomy does this well. So when you give someone the space to be autonomous and then leave the open door. And what we say is, or what I try and do is, look, if you really need it, but I'm also keeping an eye on it. So it's there. It's not, I want to say, it's not a documented one. It's kind of more, hey, look, improve this way. Where do you want to be? That's always the front when you come through. Where do you want to go past this place? But I have done it in the last company, and that's what helped me say on this one, I'm just going to be autonomous with it. Let them do it. And if they want to come and ask, how do we help foster and do it? Because finding the new opportunities to give them to take charge of those projects and move forward is the path. So it is something I'm very well aware of and have a pulse on. But to see someone that we did it once before, very good soul, very kind. But what he would do when the emails would come through at that time, he would basically write the email as telling the person to stop and get it done. And I was like, no. it's good information. You only need minor tweaks on your email. So I'd watch him. I changed, he checked the whole tune, and he morphed into more. Now he's in a top executive role, and he's come back and he's mentioned. And that time, even how short it was with that, you being around, was significant, because it showed I knew he was good person or trying to do the right things most time, but what came across in his email wasn't best worded, just by simple tweaks. So to see that go and how he has excelled has always left a mark on me, the same way it was done for us.
Yeah, I love that, because I feel like it's more personable when you're doing it that way compared to having a program. Of course, every business is different. That, you know, I've seen it both ways. If you do have a mentorship program, that's great. But it feels more personal when you're on the job doing it and you see something that needs to be corrected, and you do it in a way of a mentorship type approach. So I do, I think that is great. And then you also mentioned after this, you know, if they did move on or anything, I've never understood. Yeah. Of course, you don't want to lose good people, you know, but you want to build these people into having a better career, you know, and if it is there, we want to try and foster an incredible environment, incredible workplace. But if they do move on to something that is better for them, that should be that's still an accomplishment in my mind, you know, as a leader. Yes. Would you agree?
I would wholeheartedly agree. And it would never forget. It's almost the words that were told to me by that one who had that wealth. It's like, I don't expect to see you here 5 years from now. You shouldn't want to be here 5 years from now. I would want you to stay, but you shouldn't want. He said, because what I see in you, I would expect more. And when we had success with the last, that person actually called and reached and said, see, keep doing and keep going on. So that even touched me more to actually have received a phone call about that attainment of success, to go on a fortune, knowing whatever you learned is going to always stay with you.
Mm-hmm. Coming from a CEO, that is incredible, you know, because again, I don't see that. I don't think that's the popular mindset on it, of course, and people take offense to it when people leave, but it's of course you don't want to lose somebody, and of course you're going to be a little bit upset when somebody does leave, but it's more so like if they're leaving for a better opportunity. Personally, I always am proud of those people because I thought felt like I've always done everything I could to keep those people there. And if you know, they move on to something better, then that's, you know, great for them.
It was meaningful. And prior to having kids, especially our son, it's like you start to realize your own mortality. I've always realized it, but it's then saying, what do I want to leave beyond? If I never had monetary success, what am I leaving to benefit someone else that may have it? What is it that you're pointing to someone if you don't have that success that you've given to them? Whether it's not, it has nothing to do with money, but that you give them encouragement, empowerment, and then they go on and be success from that. So what am I doing that's going to help them?
Mm-hmm. You don't want them to stagnate and just be okay with just being, you know, average. Of course, we want to build these guys into future leaders and future managers. And so no, that's a very good point. So how can listeners and, you know, connect with you and learn more about Kuog Corporation?
So almost how we do with LinkedIn and Instagram, that's I'm trying to work Twitter or X now and understand it. So that I'm primarily, it's easiest to get it on LinkedIn, and then sometimes second easiest on Instagram.
Perfect. Okay, I'll make sure those are easily accessible in the show notes. So anybody who wants to connect with Paul, I'll make sure that, you know, you can connect easily that way.
Well, thank you, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I do appreciate all of your insight, Paul. This has been great. I do have one more question for you before we go.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So with your extensive experience in logistics and procurement, what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs or business leaders looking to enter these industries?
That's a good thing. You know, when the pandemic happened, I don't know if you were ever on Clubhouse. I was on there a few times and they had those rooms and this question would come up in those supply chain rooms. I think it gets back to what I'm saying, trust and empathy matter. Yeah, trust is a vital thing, I would say, in that industry, especially when you have essentially lives on the line. Whatever you're delivering is going to help someone have a better chance, in my mind, to get home. And even when you're dealing with those on the road or getting vital items to people that are needed, there has to be an element of trust. So you're always putting out fire. Stuff doesn't always go to plan. Hey, I need it by this date. Well, there's a flood here. There's a bridge broken here. The plane didn't come in. There's something that has to be there. So I've made my own mistakes where lack of communication hasn't been there. And you see how much trust is important and you don't really want to break it, but you want to value, I would say, value the core principles, that empathy and keeping your word as best as you can when and staying constant in communication are vital. So I would work on those social skills and then the ability to research. And AI and the different technologies around can only help improve those soft skills when you're armed with data to interpret that data as well. What does it mean when the levels on something up or here doing? Or what is unrest in a certain part of another part of the world going to do to speed up the process? So having a keen eye to leverage data to strengthen those core moral standards, I think, are vital. You can't replicate that with AI.